Hi, my name is Rita, and I have a new life in Christ. I struggle with depression and addictive personality and evidently control.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. Growing up, my family did not put the fun in dysfunctional. We did define chaos, fear, shame, confusion, and darkness. We had things, so most people thought we had it made. However, both of my parents were alcoholics. I never knew what was going to happen from one minute to the next. Fighting, screaming, crying, arguing, total chaos. I learned at a very early age to isolate and disappear into reading or watching TV. Everything was a secret. Nothing was ever discussed. My mother would disappear for days, weeks, or months. My father was always at work. We never sat down to meals. We ate a lot of TV dinners and hamburgers. I still do. My sister and I sometimes went to church with my aunt and uncle. All I remember hearing is, if I didn't come forward and accept Christ, I was going to burn in hell. Can't tell you how many times I went forward because I did not want to burn in hell. I was baptized about 6 times. The end. No one ever talked to me about having a personal relationship with Christ or what you're supposed to do from there. Nothing ever changed. I physically matured at 13, so boys just kind of magically appeared. I had no idea what to do with that, and I didn't have anyone to ask. My older sister and cousins thought it would be funny to teach me to smoke at 11 and drink at 14. My first time drinking, I had a blackout. I went out with an 18-year-old when I was 14, and it turned into a date rape. Still having no one to talk to, I kept it a secret. Total shame and confusion. At 16, I became a totally different person. No more hiding. I became the loudest, most obnoxious person around, and I took control of everything, especially sex. I learned how to use it and flaunt it. I quit school, got my GED, and began 5 years of drinking, running the streets, and inappropriate relationships with men. I stole money and alcohol from my parents, and many times I should have died, driving during blackouts, using drugs, and many other risky behaviors. At 21, I joined the Navy to get into something I couldn't just walk away from. God was looking out for me even then. The structure and rules, as well as not staying in one place too long, were just what I needed. However, I still thought I was in control, and some of my behaviors continued to work in my favor. Most nights, I could drink everyone under the table. The problem was, most days, I couldn't remember it. Darkness. Around 31, I finally decided my control was really just an illusion. I was extremely miserable, and my chaos, fear, shame, and confusion were in full force internally, but I never let anyone see. Darkness. I saw peace in something I couldn't define but wanted in one of my bosses, light. I told him I didn't want to talk. Could he just give me something to read? Amazingly, he handed me a small pamphlet and said, let him know if I had any questions. It was the 4 spiritual laws. I read it and followed it that night. God loves me, John 3:16. I'm a sinner, Romans 3:23. Jesus died for my sins, Romans 5:8. And I have to choose to receive him as my Savior and Lord, John 1:12. Immediately, I felt a physical load lifting from my shoulders, light. I was so amazed, I couldn't wait to share with my boss and get more information. We talked about what having a relationship with God meant and looked like. Shortly after that, I transferred to Memphis and found a singles ministry there. I would love to say everything went smoothly from there. However, my control arose. A man I had known for 6 years who was gonna quit drinking and become a Christian asked me to marry him. My group warned me about being unequally yoked, but I knew more than they did. I felt God had brought him to me at that time. I ended up getting pregnant before the wedding. We got married, went into labor at 23 weeks, stayed in the hospital in Memphis flat on my back for 4 weeks, was medically evacuated to Biloxi, Mississippi, where 2 weeks later I gave birth to my son, 3 months early. My husband was in New Orleans, so I was alone through all of this. I had to leave my son in that hospital and start a new job in New Orleans, about 2 hours away. So almost every big life change happened to me in 6 months. Marriage, difficult pregnancy, childbirth, not knowing if my son was even going to survive the first year, new job, new city, no friends, 2 stepkids in the home. My son and I survived only through God's grace. My marriage did not survive. My son and I moved to Dallas, where he continued having problems. I had to retire from the Navy after 22 years because he needed me and I had no help. I became a teacher so I could be available for him. We were always involved in church, and I searched for godly men to lead him, with no success. His behaviors continually worsened until he was abandoned by everyone: his father, school, church, my family. I was his only constant. 2 Corinthians 12:7 talks about Paul having a thorn in his side and begging God 3 times to remove it. 3 times God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God used this so many times to remind me that life isn't always easy, but his grace is enough to see me through. He wants me to trust him. At 16, we finally discovered that my son's behaviors were related to a head injury he suffered when he was 4. At 18, angry that God and I hadn't fixed his problems, he walked away from us. I had been doing everything by myself for so long, I crumbled. In 2010, I became so sick, I had to take early retirement from teaching. I could barely get out of bed, and I couldn't function. I felt God had left me. I went to bed for 5 years. I didn't get up except to go to the doctor, and they just kept throwing pills at me with no relief. I was totally isolated. My son came back to live with me, but he didn't like me, and he drank all the time. What was there to like? I was just existing, nothing but sleeping, reading, watching TV, and darkness. I had come full circle. In 2015, my cousin, more like a sister, died from cancer. I fell apart again. A woman I had worked with, Holly, invited me to attend Grief Share. I committed to 1.5 hours a week. I used a walker and still had no strength to walk in the church. I felt useless. But I made it, and God started something inside me. Holly had tried for years to get me to go to Watermark, so in October of 2015, I did. I heard God's word in truth, as well as practical daily application. What an amazing feeling, lightness. I signed up for membership classes and joined a community group, but membership at Watermark requires that you serve in the church. I struggled to get out of bed for 3 hours a week, couldn't walk from the living room to the bathroom without help or without falling and breaking bones. And I felt totally helpless and useless, not to mention depressed. What could I possibly offer this church full of so many young people? They asked if I'd be willing to do audiovisual for kindergarten and first grade. I thought, so out of my comfort zone. But I agreed. I am grateful Watermark has requirements for membership. Otherwise, I never would have done any of the things that have so blessed me. I am beyond blessed that God sent Holly and that Holly obeyed and never gave up on me. She introduced me to Regen, and I came very reluctantly. My last 2 years in the Navy, I was a substance abuse counselor. I had been to every 12-step program in existence. All of my college papers were on drug and alcohol abuse. And I considered myself an expert on the topic and on 12-step programs. I fought this program for months. They were not doing it right. But I kept coming for some reason. Finally, during step 3, trust, it hit me. I really thought I trusted God. But I learned it's not just trusting him with the big picture. It's about trusting him all the little, everyday things as well. The book asked, "Who do I say that Jesus is?" My answer was, "He is the Son of God. He is God. He willingly suffered humiliation, ridicule, beatings, rejection, treason, unspeakable pain, torture, and a horrible death for me. He didn't complain. He could have invoked his power as God at any time, but he didn't. In fact, he asked his Father to forgive those who nailed him to the cross. He suffered these things so I would know he understands what I'm going through and so that my sins could be forgiven. Do I deserve better than him? He wants me to find ways to willingly serve him and others, despite my limitations. There are still things I can do, just not the way I see it in my head. He wants me to trust him where I am. Why was I trying to control this program? My way hadn't exactly been working for me. I finally understood. I didn't have to trust the people or the program. I just had to trust him. He would walk through this with me and teach me what I needed to know. More light. So I chose to trust God's recovery plan, wherever that led. I had to apologize to my regen group for my attitude up to this point and for my lack of trust. They offered grace. I committed to our group and a renewed effort. I promised God that I would go wherever he wanted and I would do the work if he would get me out of bed and give me the strength. I missed some, but not much. I must confess, I didn't make it easy. I argued with him a lot, but he never gave up on me, and he continues to win the battles. Just when I felt comfortable that I had it all figured out, I got to step four, inventory. I thought this was going to be a breeze. After all, I'd been to every 12-step program in existence. I was a substance abuse counselor. I'd already done my inventory, so I expected no surprises. Yeah, right. I filled the inventory book up and more. I am so grateful for the worksheets Regen provides. They really helped me dig deep and find all my dark corners. I didn't think I had fears, but I did fear things like rejection, being alone for the rest of my life, losing my health, being able to take care of myself. And I saw where many of those fears had become self-fulfilling prophecies. Once they were brought into the light, I could give them to God and let them go. Then resentments just came out of the woodwork. Putting them in writing and dissecting them was quite the experience. But it did take away a lot of the sting. Harms by me and the sexual inventory were probably the most painful because they were my bad. It's so much easier to focus on what others did to me. My adult life had been spent as a hospital corpsman in the Navy, a drug and alcohol counselor, a teacher, a mother, all helper roles. So I had a hard time accepting that I had harmed others. My behaviors were all justified. But there it was in black and white. Romans 5:6-8 says, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The book asked how I felt knowing that before I was even born, God saw my inventory and sent Jesus, who chose to die for me anyway. It amazed me that God can just watch my mistakes, not intervene, not say, "I told you so," and still love me unconditionally and forgive me when I ask. When Regen was almost over, my depression and severe physical pain spiked, and between the physical, emotional, and mental struggles, I wasn't sure I could reach the finish line. But because of God's faithfulness, I did. Then I wanted to volunteer, but I wasn't sure how useful or consistent I could be because of my health. Could I be dependent on to be there every week? I finally realized no one could guarantee they could be here every week. All I could do was pray, commit, and trust God to get me there. I began volunteering in Regen around March of 2017. God has been so faithful. I've been here almost every week. Between leading in Regen, Equip Disciple, and Women's Bible Study, I have been totally immersed in women for the first time in my life. I was surrounded by men for 22 years in the Navy. I didn't even know if I liked women. But I have felt so blessed. The women in these three programs, participants and leaders, have accepted, loved, guided, taught, and encouraged me. And they exemplify God's grace and mercy, even when I continue to make mistakes. I went through 2 community groups in my first year, which severely damaged my confidence. But because of God's perfect grace, I am now involved in 2 amazing community groups that are focused on building relationships with God. My relationship with God has become more than I could imagine, and I learn more every day. I learned that God never gave up on me, but because of my guilt and shame, I had given up on Him. I began by committing 1.5 hours a week to God if He would get me out of bed, and He did. Praise God, I gave up my walker in January of 2017, and now I'm out of the house almost every day. And He's still faithful to get me out of bed and give me the strength to do everything He's led me to. Or He gives me people like Laura who helped me get there. My sins, my being unequally yoked, my pregnancy out of marriage, my divorce, none of those things define me. I am loved and forgiven. My dream for when I retired was to become a professional volunteer. In step 2, it asks, what would it look like for you to be restored? My answer was, I would be able to go and do things to help others. I would be in God's Word and comprehending what He wants me to know. I would feel joy and peace in all circumstances. I would be communicating with God all day, and I would have many songs in my head. I recently realized that I am now living all of my dreams. And from the time I wake up until I go to bed, God has songs of praise going through my head. Sorry. Step 11, intimacy, says we seek to deepen our relationship with God daily and depend on His power to do His will. This has truly been a blessing through all of my issues. Not only am I doing the Bible studies, I'm reading and highlighting my Bible every day and journaling what God wants me to know. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. I may not get exactly what I want or envision, but I definitely get what I need. Someone once told me they didn't need to read the Bible or study the Bible because they knew what it said and how it ended. What I'm learning is that the Bible is a living, breathing document. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible is true and it doesn't change. However, what God wants me to learn today isn't what I needed 10 years ago. He clarifies it for different life stages. My current journey began October of 2015 with 1.5 hours a week. And what a journey it's been. I'm now prepared for this to be a lifelong journey. I will not reach the finish line until I arrive in heaven. And I'm good with that. God has shown me that He is not finished with me. I do still have a purpose. I am useful. I just have to put my trust in Him every day. I learned that He protected my son, who survived, so that now at 32, he can thrive. I know I've made it sound like I'm totally fixed and no longer struggle. Nothing could be further from the truth. I still struggle with depression, resentment, fear, isolation, insecurity, addictions, control. Fortunately, it's more sporadic and not all at the same time anymore. I still have pain and extreme exhaustion every day. I still can't physically do all the things I want to do. The difference is I now have the tools to help me make it through those struggles, and I can trust God to be faithful when I pick them up. His grace truly is sufficient. He has shown me how to change my expectations and attitude. He carries me when I don't have the strength to do things myself. My job is to focus on Him, trust, and obey. If you're new to Regen, welcome. This is the first step to a whole new life. I encourage you to look at it as your journey to know yourself, but mostly to grow in your intimacy with Christ and allow God to turn your darkness into light. This is an opportunity to expose your secrets and be healed. He has definitely turned my darkness into light. In Mark 4, 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. All of my secrets have now been brought into God's light, and I am at peace." My name is Rita. I have an amazing new life in Christ, and I am now gratefully living my dream and my purpose, which have totally aligned through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for letting me share with y'all.